Hello, Watch Nerds, and welcome back. This is your host, Nico, and today I am in Stockholm at Watches of Scandinavia meeting a good friend of the podcast, Patrik Palovaara from Panzer Watches Sweden. Hi, Patrik.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
I've been trying to get you on the podcast for a long time, and now we finally meet. I'm very happy for that. And as I have explained already, I am a big fan of the brand. I like your design. Being an ergonomic-driven maniac, I love what you do because you also are quite interested in good ergonomics. But let's begin naturally with who is Patrik Palovaara?
Yeah, my name is Patrik Palovaara, and I'm an industrial designer. Worked in the business for 20-plus years now as a transportation designer, and then now as a more of an industrial designer, making watches for my own brand, Panzer Sweden. I say like this because I have a Finnish mother and a Swedish father, so I'm made in Sweden with the Finnish parts. So.
And you have been designing most of your professional career. What do you have designed?
Worked quite a lot with the Volvo brands in different categories. Volvo bus, Penta bus, Volvo cars. Done a few consultancy work for the other car brands as well. And then been doing everything from heavy construction equipment to consumer products, basically for Ericsson. And the last 13 years started the journey with the making watches.
And how long have you been into watches in general?
Basically, my interest in watches started when I started my design career in Umeå back in 1997. And then I was graduated from master's program transportation design in 2002, and then that sort of I started interest, but it was more from a perspective of design and then what sort of the unique kind of attributes of certain designs. I was not a particular watch nerd in terms of the movement as such, but along the journey now I have been kind of become this sort of watchmaker myself to kind of prove certain people right and wrong. So
it's a good reason as any.
Yeah.
And how did you get into making watches? That started in 2011 or probably?
No, actually it started a bit earlier. I was very inspired by actually Mikael Sandström, the owner of Halda's watches, who was involved previously with the Epoch. So basically, and yeah, and Sjö Sandström as well. So I actually had, how the journey started was that I was talking to a good friend of my wife who was a watchmaker in Lindesberg, and he worked for the big brands as well, Omega and such, back in the 80s and 90s, and we talked about the watch manufacturing part, and in particular the cost of the movement and cost of production for these brands, and I was surprised how quite low that was compared to the retail price. Of course, it comes with overhead costs and all the R&D development, and having such a humongous brand, it becomes a big factor that it's a big business. I was intrigued by kind of, could I do something unique myself, create a more affordable watch to have a unique design and then sell it with an attractive price attached to it. So it was basically along that journey I started designing, trying to find this sort of, what are the basic traits and characteristics of the watches I liked back then, was Bellenros, Panerai, U-Boat. I tried to analyze these sort of, what were the kind of main traits in those watches, and it was like the uniqueness of design, it was like complexity of the watch case, the depth of the dial that I saw that I could apply this sort of thinking to my own watch design. So I created a collection which was called Supercharged Moonracer and X1 Airborne, which was more stealth design faceted. And it was kind of along those lines it started the kind of design, and it kind of gradually evolved to where we are now, making it more and more kind of, or more and more, less and less I should say, be niched, because the watches back then, especially in that time of era, was quite chunky. So we had a collection which was 44 millimeter in diameter, and I think it was 14.9 thick. So it was quite big, chunky tool watches in that sense. that was very popular back in the day. But we wanted to kind of take that concept of supercharger, which has these sort of five different unique case parts, integrate them into a unique design, and then make it more classical, less tool, and make it basically more of an elegant sports watch in that sense.
Would you say that the design has matured?
Yeah, for sure. The design has matured immensely, because looking to where we were from, we were at 2012-13 to now, it's a completely different product.
Speaking of design, I would suggest that design and material innovations are in the core of what you do.
Yeah.
What is your approach and process regarding design?
I would say being educated in Umeå Institute of Design had a big role in my profession, and being a Swedish born and raised person as well, I think we're more pragmatic, more problem-solving oriented rather than styling. Of course, it's a very important blend to have a functional product and a aesthetically nice design product. It's interlinked, I would say 100%. But on that sort of journey, I've always been that sort of problem solver designer, looking, analyzing, could you do it like this? So to find these sort of unique ways of making a watch as well, even though you could, most of the parts traditionally are stamped with blanks and it's quite a primitive process. So I want to find these unique ways of manufacturing as well. So
in terms of inspiration, where is this design for this particular model come from altogether?
The inspiration for the Elvan, which we launched in 2021, was basically from our first most successful watch, which was called the Supercharge, which has these sort of very nice silhouettes on the case side structures. And of course, we shrunk, made the proportions much more compact, more classical in that sense. But also I can say that we wanted to grab on to some of the feelings that you get with the, when you look at the old classic Gerald Jänta designs with the Patek Philippe and Audemars Piguet and the likes, to create a very nice looking, well designed classical proportions when you look from every angle. So all the contour lines should have a nice transition fluent throughout, so you can basically look from every angle, that is, everything makes sense.
I ask every guest, how are the watches made? What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so the watches we make in Göta, it's 50 kilometers north of Gothenburg. So we make the full case and the buckle and everything up there. We have suppliers for the dial and hands. And of course, we have to have a supplier for the movement, so we buy from Sellita, Switzerland. This is ultimately something we want to make ourselves, but we're only getting started, basically. So it's made of 904 stainless steel, double dome sapphire lens, anti-reflected coated on the inside. Front and back, I should say. 100 meter water resistance, both screwed in and even screwed out crown. So we have a kind of harness and belt solution, hängslen och livrem, we call it in Swedish. And also, we don't want to print all of this information out, because we want to keep it clean, uncluttered. We basically state Pansas within the manufacturing company, and we shouldn't clutter the watch with all this.
Keep it Nordic.
Yeah, exactly. Simple, clean.
And that incredible clasp.
Yeah, thank you. It's been quite a journey to get these sort of, because it's so complex, even though it looks simple, but to finish it with the high gloss, high polished surface areas, and you have the brushed sides, and you have it's spark erosion, almost like this sort of pearlescent effect in the base, and then you brush it to get even more contrast. So the time we spend on just doing this class makes no business sense whatsoever. But I feel it complements the watch, because the watch, even though it's not chunky, of course, it has a bit of thickness to it. But I think it's important to have this balance as well to create a bit of jewelry when you're sitting in, for example, at dinners and you have a conversation and the watch is not always visible.
There is a jewelry-like appeal in your watch. Was that intentional?
I think, especially when you look at the crown, it becomes with this sort of faceted, sparkly thing. Because when I look at, for example, Audemars Piguet with the bracelet they have, it pops like crazy, these sort of... And it's something I think the human being, as a primitive person, you're always attracted to this sort of blingy stuff somehow. I don't know. But I want to do it in a manly way so it doesn't become like jewelry type of watch. So it's too fancy. It's still more of a sporty watch, I would say. But it's so important to get the right combination of polished, brushed, to get this sort of contrast to make the design, the feature lines pop really in between. So to create these sort of sharp, distinct, polished surfaces in between the brushed and these case lugs. So I think this is, from design point of view, the main kind of characteristics of the watch is that sort of pop you get from looking at it.
And then we have the crown. Are you willing to tell me about the process and the inspiration for the crown?
The inspiration is drawn from the Swedish crown jewels, with all these different facets to pick up the light to complement the overall design of the watch as well. And also, what is quite unique is that we have a centered, vertically centered logotype. So it should always be in a locked position when it's vertically placed. It doesn't matter if it's screwed in or unscrewed, it's always watertight. But you know that it's sealed and locked when it's vertically centered. Even though it doesn't look like that, but it has been definitely one of the biggest challenges to achieve this perfect faceted chamfered. You have 45 degree chamfers meeting the exactly squared chamfers around the whole crown as a whole. And then you have this little stamp of approval when the watch is screwed down and locked. The logo is always vertically positioned. And in order for us to fit this right in the center of the skeletonized case sides, we have to choose a slightly thinner movement, so we can actually fit it right in the center, because you don't have enough tolerances to create the thread for the crown. So it's you don't realize how much work it is to just achieve this sort of setting without any screws or such things.
There is no screws in the case.
No, nothing at all. So basically,
walk me through it.
So basically, you have the case center, and the case side smoothly fits in the small slots for the case back and the bezel. And by having this sort of unique construction, you can avoid any type of screws, and you create a solid designed watch. That
so the case back and the bezel become the structural integrity of the...
Yeah, exactly.
Including
exactly.
Some good gaskets, of course.
Yes. So we can avoid drilling holes and such. So we can keep a clean, uncluttered design throughout.
Is there any challenges working with the 904 stainless steel compared to 316 or any other?
The biggest challenge, I would say, is achieving the surface quality, because I brought some parts here. Like this is the raw unfinished part. It's a little bit more chrome, so it's more durable in terms of being prone to scratches and such. I would say when we mill, the biggest thing is the milling speed compared to achieving the right surface finish for the base, even though we have a lot of hand finishing on these parts. Even though this comes out now, it looks fairly good, but when you look under a microscope, it's still a lot of work with this part to getting it to this
level.
Stage, yeah.
It becomes,
and it's not nearly as finished as the watch itself.
No, exactly. So this is the polishing is five different stages, just the polishing. And in order for us to do this sort of super crisp, almost like Sarazzo polishing sides, even though it's not flat, but we have these sort of fixtures to create this sort of perfectly aligned jigs, so we can mask the brushing from the polishing. So in order for us to create this super crisp line throughout the case side.
The lug to lug itself is really short. It's about 46 millimeters. But then the strap end, is even shorter.
Yeah, because we have these sort of profiles along the 6 o'clock and 12 o'clock in the case structure in the center part that provides a even closer attachment to the straps. So you get a much more comfortable wear to the watch, which I think is crucial to the design when you have it on the wrist, that it's, even though it's a bit chunky, it's still only 12.9 millimeters thick, still wears like a dream on the wrist. So this is also one part of the design process where you want to kind of integrate, not exactly integrate, maybe is the wrong word, but to have the strap flowing into the curve of the case side, so it blends into the design of the watch case to have a perfect
and it really does
fit to it.
This has been dream on the wrist. And one thing I expected to happen, and it didn't happen, I was a bit nervous because it's 904 stainless steel. This is the first time actually I'm wearing one for more than 10 seconds in the shop, you know. Mm-hmm. And I expected to put scratch on it. And I tell every guest that I am going to wear the watch. There might be hairlines. Be prepared for damage. I did not put any scratches.
Mm, that's cool. I think, like I said before, 904 is a bit more chrome in it, so it's more durable from that point of view. But also with the design, we have a slightly little chamfer on the glass, even though it's double domed. It's protecting also, and this is one thing I should mention when it comes to finishing the watch. If I compare it to, for example, an Audemars Piguet, they have so super sharp polish to brushed
transitions,
transition,
yeah,
that it becomes almost like you look at it and it becomes a nick in the surface. And what we have done is to pre-polish it, so you create slightly small fillets on the transition between the brushed and to the polished, so you have a much more functional design in that aspect. If you nick it to some steel part, that little fillet or radius takes up the impact, which then doesn't break the surface.
So that presents aspect of longevity.
Exactly.
Because so some watches, let's be honest, they age like bananas. Cartier, Frank Mueller.
Yes.
You sneeze and they have scratches on it.
Because this is something I feel is very important as a customer wearing a watch. It should not only look great day one, it should look
absolutely
great in 5-10 years time. Of course, if you wear it heavily and wear it a lot of the times, things will happen inevitably. But I think, for example, if you compare it to the iPhone design, you immediately throw it in the case and then it's almost like you hide the design. Why should you not appreciate the design of a watch when you have put so much effort in designing it? So our thinking is, with especially with the Elvan now, is to have a watch that is withstanding time. It should be much more, which I think we have succeeded in creating a design which stands the test of time, being much more mature. So it's not that sort of one-hit wonder design. This is a classical design that should be on the wrist of people for a long, long time. And especially with our commitment that we have, as long as you care for the watch, we promise it will keep the time. That's why we're giving you lifetime warranty.
Is that part of a concept or philosophy you have?
Yeah, our philosophy in that sense, I think, is very evident in the quality of the product we have been able to achieve. And if you talk about a bit of a longer term perspective, we know we can get there. by doing this unique design that is looking completely different from everything else. And we want to be a long-term player. Basically, our aim is to be the Swedish watchmaker number one in the long term. And I think we're on a fairly good start to that journey.
My impression is that for, I mean, this is not your first watch, but for the first premium priced watch, you have all the hallmarks. You have the finishing, you have the fit, you have the build quality, the complexity of that case with the complexity of that crown, the fluidity, the overall design, the ergonomics. It's a almost perfect package. If I would change anything, you knew this is coming, I would just add red.
Red accent, yeah.
Red version.
Oh, red version. Ah, okay. The good thing is we can do everything. This is our first product. We're already looking into doing different materials. I don't know if I mentioned we have ordered samples of really cool material called carbonium from Lavoisier. So there are two gentlemen who comes from the aerospace and the Formula One industry that has done this sort of super amazing gold-infused carbon material that we're trying to do some first shots of now, do some special, very limited series. And this is the good thing with us doing everything in Sweden. It goes super fast to do. If we want to try something, model it up, try it, wimmel it, test, not only quality control in terms of controlling the CNC machinery, the milling and all of this, but also when it comes to pre-assembly, finishing, and then assembling the final product. So we have multiple stages in this quality control, from the watchmaker to the guy who actually makes the raw machine parts in the CNC machine, to the guys finishing the products.
Listen, I'm intrigued, honestly. And what I think is that we should have episode 2. But is there any chance that I can come and take a look firsthand in your facility?
Yeah. You're very welcome to come.
I'll tell you why. Because what I see here on the table is almost too good to be true. There is, as a first premium segment product in this price range, I think this is almost too accomplished. If I can come and see firsthand, and that would be also valuable for the listeners who will understand even more in depth the machinery and the process.
You need to get appreciation for the complexity to achieve that, even though it's just a piece of metal in the end of the day. And as me as a designer, taking that sort of raw piece of metal, milling it, polishing it, sanding it, brushing it to make this sort of product, and especially when people have it on the wrist, it's so rewarding, especially when they give you feedback. Oh, I didn't realize, and they call me after 2 weeks. Oh, I see this perfectly aligned with that line, and the crown, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, the crown and the finishing, to me, I'm taken back. You know, I've seen enough watches to separate good from great and in between, and I know this is very fresh and this is just gaining speed, but is there any else on the drawing board?
We're of course working on different materials for this type of design, but we're working also with some accessories like cufflinks, like the buckle design or the crown design, to have as a buckling design. So this is something we're working
Compliment.
On. Yeah, exactly. So when you don't have the watch, maybe all the days, if you're wearing another dress watch, you can have also this Pansar.
Patrick, my brain is working overtime right now, and I'm imagining in my brain a Texas buckle on the belt.
Yeah.
Or on the shirt here, you know, they have this papillon.
Yeah. We can do whatever cool accessories we feel like. So cufflinks is definitely coming.
Fantastic.
Working on it right now, different materials, and hopefully some more collaborations between other creators and maybe other Swedish brands as well, doing editions for them. So this is something in the pipeline.
This is fantastic to hear, because, you know, we are sitting right here at Watches of Scandinavia, a store that main goal is to connect Nordic horology under the same roof in order to help each other.
Exactly.
But here in the Nordics, we want to succeed together. And you being on board and having the same values and the same goals just makes me happy.
Thank you. Now we're stronger together for sure.
Absolutely. Patrick, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Will be very interesting conversation. Thank
absolutely. You. This will be to be continued. There will be episode 2 because this is too interesting to leave it here. For the listeners, if you guys have any questions, recommendations, if you want to talk to me or Patrick, I will put all the necessary contacts in the podcast notes. And until next time, remember, what's beyond ecology is time and people. Respect them both. Goodbye.